Es kann sagen, dass ich nicht mehr geschweige, wenn man Yehuda mitzegt, dass es gesubes darf, zeigt, dalle. Fragt die Gemara, why would Benanda say that the fourth wife has to swear? Shmuel said, the case of the Mishnah is where we have determined that one of the fields given to one of the earlier wives for a ksuba is now thought not to have belonged to the husband. Therefore, she's at risk of having it taken away from her. The fourth wife, therefore, has to swear before taking the last field, because by her taking the field, she leaves nothing for the early wife to collect from if her field is ultimately taken away from her. Based on this machlokes, the Mishnah is regarding a later creditor who seizes assets before an earlier creditor. The Tanakhama holds that we remove the asset from the later creditor and give it to the earlier one, which is why the fourth wife doesn't have to swear, because the field will be taken away from her if need be. Benanda holds that the later creditor retains the seized assets. Therefore, since the fourth wife may later cause a loss to the earlier wife, she has to swear before taking the field. Another terrorist after Gemara, Rav Nachman in the name of Rabbi Bar Avuah said that all agree that a later creditor must return the seized asset. Machlokes says that Benanda is concerned the fourth wife will use up the asset before it's taken away from her, and therefore she has to swear because she may ultimately cause a loss to the earlier wife. The Tanakhama is not concerned that the asset will be used up, and therefore she doesn't have to swear before collecting. Third terrorist, Abaya said, the case is where the orphans are all adults, and they argue in the halacha of Abaya Keshisha, who said that he have to swear before collecting from orphans who are minors or adults. But not as holds like Abaya Keshisha, and therefore the fourth wife has to swear because she's collecting from orphans. The Tanakhama disagrees and holds that since they are adults, she does not have to swear before collecting from them. Dr. Mar Rav Huna said, if there are brothers in an inheritance or partners in a property, and a third party took one of the partners to court about the partnership property, and the third party won, the other partner can't later demand a separate court case to deal with his share of the property. Rather, the first partner is considered to have acted as a shliach for the partnership as a whole. Rav Nachman said, this is shown in our Mishnah, where the Mishnah says that the first wife has to swear to the second to the third, and so on. Now, it seems that the third can't demand an oath from the first. It must be that the second woman accepts the oath from the first on behalf of all the other women. This is the same concept as the partners. In fact, the case is very different. The oath made is the exact same oath that would be made to each one of the women. In the case of the partners, the other partner can claim that he wants his own court case, or maybe he has better rayas to win the argument, to win the case. Therefore, the partner can demand his own court case. Gemara says, no, the partner can only demand his own court case if he was not in town during the first court case. If he was, we tell him that he should have shown up during the first court case to present his evidence, and we therefore would not grant his demand for a new court case. Zakti Gemara, if there are two deeds to a property written on the same day and held by two different people, Rav says they split the property. Shmuel says we leave it up to the discretion of Bezdin to decide who to give it to. Frek Gemara, maybe we can say that Rav will follow the view of a mayor who says that the witnesses who signed the get, not the ones who witnessed the delivery, rather the Eide Chasumim, they affect the divorce. And similarly, the Eide who signed on a document would make the document effective. As such, if two deeds are written on the same day without stating the time of day, there is no way to say that one has precedence over the other. And Shmuel will follow the view of Rabbi Elazar, who says that the witnesses of the delivery make the document effective, and therefore we leave up to Bezdin to try and determine who actually received the deed first. Rav says, no, maybe everyone agrees with Rabbi Elazar, and Machloekes says that Rav says splitting the field is the more equitable solution, and Shmuel says leaving up to the discretion of Bezdin is the more equitable solution. In fact, how can we say that Rav holds like Rabbi Elazar when we find that Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Rav, said that we only pass like Rabbi Elazar regarding a get, but not regarding other documents? Rav says we have to say, as we said earlier, the Rav follows Rav Meir and Shmuel follows Rabbi Elazar. Pekmara Braisa says that two deeds that were produced and written on the same day, we divide the field for the people. That's not like Shmuel said. Mar says Shmuel said that price that follows Rav Meir. In fact, Mother Bryce continues and says that if the owner of the field wrote one deed and had it signed, and then wrote a second deed and had it delivered before the first one, the second person is Kaina. If the Bryce is following Rav Meir, they should split the field since they were both written and signed on the same day. Mar says the Bryce is not problematic to Shmuel because we find the Bryce where the question of whether to divide the field or allow it to be decided by Bezdin actually a subject of machlekes among Tanoim. Therefore, he has a Tanahu to rely on. Mara says a ma'aseh, the mother of Rami Bar Chama wrote a document gifting her property to him, to Rami Bar Chama. That evening, she wrote a document gifting her property to her other son, Mar Ukva Bar Chama. Rav Shesh has awarded the property to Rami Bar Chama, and Rav Nachman awarded the property to his brother, Mar Ukva. Rav Shesh explained, I did so because his document was written earlier in the day. Rav Nachman said, we're not in Yerushalayim where the time of day is written, and therefore, any documents written on the same day are on equal footing. Rav Nachman explained, because they're on equal footing, I applied discretion as a judge and awarded to Mar Ukva because he was the more beloved son. Rav Shesh said, I'm also a judge, and as such, my ruling should be considered as if I use discretion and decide who to give it to. Rav Nachman said, first of all, you're not an appointed judge as I am. Second of all, you awarded it based on an erroneous halacha, not based on discretion, and therefore, we're going to follow my psak. Mar says that there were two people with deeds to the same property, and they came to Rav Yosef to decide who should keep the property. One deed said it was written on the 5th of Nisan, the other one said it was written in Nisan, without specifying a day. Rav Yosef gave the property to the one who had the deed that it was written on the 5th of Nisan, because the other one may have possibly been written even on the last day of Nisan. The losing party asked for a document to be written allowing him to collect from the seller from any date beginning after Nisan, and encumbered properties from that date. Rav Yosef told him that can't be done, because any later property holder can say that it's possible that the deed was written on the 1st of Nisan, and as such, he should have gotten the original property. Property over the other person. The only option would be for the two people with the deeds to give each other authorization, and thereby together allowing collection under either of their rights.